accession number 20583, Reel 5.
So Dewsbury Reel 5.
In the Barfleur. After that, I carried on up to Glasgow to see which ship I was being appointed to, and it was to be the Cockade, a C-class ship with a similar weapon system to the Barfleur. However, she hadn't got a director control tower and was not likely to have one in the near future, so I went back to the Admiralty and got another appointment to a ship called Zenith, who was lying at Denny Brothers at Dumbarton, and I joined her, and sometime around then it was VE Day, the war in Europe was over, but we were already destined for the Far East. So we set off after doing the trials and so on, and got out to Malta, where we did our working up, and tested all our weaponry and so on and so forth with the assistance of the various aircraft that were available in Malta, and then set sail for port side to pass through the Suez Canal.
What kind of ship was this?
It was a Z-class destroyer.
How did this compare with the other destroyer you've been in?
Well, she was far more modern and had much more modern equipment. The guns were no better. They were still 4.5 guns. They were no better. But the system of fire control was better. The radar was better. And operations room was better. In fact, other ships practically didn't have an operations room.
They didn't have an operations room?
No, you sort of did it on the bridge in the chart room. But this ship had was the first one I'd been in where you had an operational system. Oh yes, we'd left Malta and we're on our way to pass through the Suez Canal when the atomic bomb was dropped on Japan, and we were ordered to reverse course. And rather amusingly, slow down to economic cruising speed. The Treasury was in control. We had to not use any fuel that was unnecessary and sort of finish off the rest of the war on the cheap. And we returned back to England and were sent through the Kiel Canal. And I was surprised, really, bearing in mind all the damage we'd seen of Germany. We'd seen the ruins of Hamburg and of Kiel. The actual canal was unscathed, so they were able to build their U-boats and send them through the Kiel Canal to the Baltic to carry out their training before going operational. And we were sent to Travemünde, and our mission was to superintend the handing over of German minesweepers to the Russian Navy. We were supposed to give some sort of guarantee to the Germans that they would be returned, because they didn't want to go to Russia with these minesweepers, understandably. And that was a very, that was 1945-46, a very cold winter in the Baltic. And after these minesweepers had been transferred, we came back through the Kiel Canal and came back to Portland. And I was advised that I we all had a table telling us when we'd be demobilised, according to your age and how long you've been in. Well, I'd been in the maximum, which was from day one, but I still was not very good on age. I was still only 24. And anyway, I got a release group number. The thing was actually being able to use it. But it, I was, in fact, demobilised in Portland. I left the Zenith there sometime in early 46 or spring of 46, I can't remember. And I think I went to Chatham to actually get all the formal and necessary things. And I got quite a lot of leave because of overseas service and so on and so forth. So I think my formal demobilisation date was in May sometime, but I spent 2 months of that at least at home on leave.
Why had you wanted destroyers? Why had you requested destroyers in the first place?
Well, it's all I knew. Oh, in the first place, when I, well, it seemed to me that, rather foolishly really, that destroyers were always where all the action was. I mean, you know, you didn't have a backwater of naval things where you would have a few destroyers lying around doing nothing. They were always where the action was. You might have battleships anchored in Scapa Flow, but there were no, and they might be there for weeks or even months and so on, and cruisers to a lesser extent, but you didn't have any destroyers hanging around anywhere. They were always doing something somewhere. So that if there was anything going, you were in it.
Why did you want that?
Well, it would get the war over quickly. You didn't get bored. I don't know. It seemed to be the ship to be in, the ships to be in. And I never regretted it. I survived. And I think I was very lucky, really. I mean, when we got around the Cape and were going to through the Suez Canal and talking to the local staff on the shore there, they said, you know, if you're lucky, you'll last 3 weeks, and you know, if you're not so lucky, you'll you'll only last two. But with Hunt class destroyers, they were smaller and had all this, had this anti-aircraft equipment. The other ships were probably, the big tribals and so on, were about 60 feet longer and didn't have the necessary anti-aircraft weaponry. So that there were some disadvantages of being in a Hunt class destroyer. You didn't have the speed of the main, the big ones. I think we could only do about 26 knots, and the big, like the Zenith that I was in, and the Teaser, we could do 33 knots, and without any problem.
And do I understand that the only time a ship you served in was hit was that time at Augusta in Sicily?
That's right, yes, that's right. We might have had near misses and from bombs and things, and sort of close shaves, but we were never actually hit by anything, by a bomb or a shell.
How do you feel now about having served in the RNVR in the war?
Well, I feel very glad I did it, and now I've survived. And I after the war, we were advised that we were still part of the division, and I don't know whether Norman Gostler told you all this, but the Admiralty in their wisdom decided that we would all specialise in minesweeping. So we had, none of us knew anything about minesweeping. He was a fighter control officer, I was a destroyer officer with many things. People were in coastal forces and I don't know, other people were in combined operations. Nobody knew anything about minesweeping. Nobody, we knew it was an essential thing. I mean, if you were mined in, you were in trouble. But we didn't know anything about it. And so we took it up because we were told that's what it was, what we had to do. We started off with an old wartime minesweeper and then got this newer Bronington built at Beverley. And I took her on many NATO exercises and minesweeping exercises. And eventually I took her to very many ports, including Norway, Holland, Belgium, France, and so on. And eventually they decided in one of their mad economy cuts to eliminate this division, although it was, all the figures showed it was the cheapest division to run in the country because it the headquarters combined with fishery protection. The staff officer of our division was also the fishery protection officer. And they took the Bronington away. I'd been down originally to collect her from somewhere on the Solent. And they took her away, and eventually she became Prince Charles' ship, you may recall. So I always say I was breaking the captain's bunk in for Prince Charles.